I want to greet you all again this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Thankful to be with you all. It's a real blessing to gather again together. This morning I want to turn to Luke chapter 14. To begin with, this is part of this message is will be very easy to preach, and part of it won't be. I want to try to answer some questions that we get sometimes that sometimes I don't even like to answer for myself, but we'll try to do that this morning. I want to start in Luke chapter 14. Verse 25, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. Here we have great multitudes following Jesus. And he turned and spoke to them. I want you to hear what he said. If any man come after me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Can you imagine a man with a great following today? A lot of people following him. Had a huge congregation. They were all listening to what he said. And he turned around and said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, you can't be my disciple. What do you think that those people would think? Do you think that they kept following him in the same multitudes? He wasn't trying to gather a huge crowd together. He was calling men to repent. And whosoever doth not here bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And I want to jump down to verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Three times there in those verses that Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple. He put a high bar on being his disciple. We talked a little last night, just if any man come unto me and hate not his father. Hate is another one of those words that have been hijacked. It's almost like you have to re-understand the English language to find truth, because these words have been so perverted and twisted today that when most modern men hear a lot of these words, they have a complete different thought than what they really mean. Whenever we think of hate, we think of doing someone harm or killing someone. We think of someone in a rage, hating something that's molesting them. I just hate that. Something that you would just like to take out of your way because it's bothering you. It's not what Jesus, whenever the Bible uses the word hate in this instance. Hate means to take little thought of, to disregard, to just not even paying any attention to. It comes to the point where Jesus said, if you are going to be my disciple, the things that, the arguments, the pleas that are going to come from your family have no effect on you anymore because you've chosen to give your love to Jesus. And so their arguments and their pleas no longer have a bind on you. What they say, you can disregard when they're trying to turn you away from following God. We have to make a choice of whether we're going to allow these earthly ties and take heed and follow them, or we're going to follow Jesus. You cannot do both. Jesus said if they're going to have an influence in your life and they're going to influence the way you live, you can't be my disciple. It didn't mean you have a desire to kill them or a desire to get them out of your way. The influence that they have on you no longer has any influence, is what hate means. It's not to do them harm, but today when we think of that word, that's the first thought we have. It's just like, it's what happened to faith, the word grace, the word gay. It used to imply something happy, and now the word gay has been turned into something ugly. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. This is the very foundation of following Jesus. That if we're not willing to ignore the pleas of father, mother, wife, children, the things that you own, brethren, sisters, yea, even your own life. You can't be my disciple. I want you to understand that. That's what it means to follow Jesus. To put him as the one that you love above all things. Not just a slow leader in what you love, but set apart, high above everything else, to where their claims on your life have no effect. It would almost appear like you don't love them anymore to them. That you're cold and you're cold-hearted. That's the way you're going to appear to those in the flesh, those who have had influence over your life. That is the words of Jesus. I want you to understand that. They're plain and they're clear, and it's a foundation of being a disciple or a follower of Jesus. You have to start there to understand any of the rest of the scriptures. That's where we say, when people come and they say and try to tell us, well, Paul said this or Paul said that. If we miss what Jesus said, I don't care how well you know Paul, you've missed it. Because this is what Jesus said, and he is our Lord. And Paul himself would say, follow me as I follow the Lord. Paul is not the Lord. And he would be the first to tell you that. And I believe we would have good fellowship with Paul, because I believe that we're trying to seek and please the same Lord. And that's where fellowship comes from. Is whenever our focus is on the Lord and our love for Him. And if we miss that, it doesn't matter how much we try to put into practice anything else. If our first love is not the Lord, it'll fall flat. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I want you to notice what it does not say here. It does not say, husbands, worship your wives. It says, love them. Like Christ loved the church. Jesus does not worship the church. It's his prize and he takes care of it. But he does not worship it. There's a desire in most women to be adored and worshiped. That is not the requirement of the husband to do that. The reason a man should love his wife primarily is because God said so. That's kind of going to be a hard pill to swallow for a lot of women. Because you know where that puts them? To where a lot of times, whenever it comes down to following Jesus or following their husbands, they're going to think that they're despised and hated because their husband has chose to follow Jesus and she is not the pinnacle of his life. A lot of these different movements, the feminine movement, the women's rights movement, whatever movement's going on today, equality, and all of the rights that are touted today, people don't want equality. They want to be set up and worshiped. They want to be placed on a high tower and people just fawn at their feet trying to make them happy. You know what? That's what women want. That's exactly what most women want. And most counseling is directed to make her feel that way. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's right. She can make everybody miserable if she wants to. But the goal of God in the family is not centered around mama and making her happy. The goal of God in the family is that everyone in that family loves God and is going to do his will as directed. And that direction is laid out very clearly, that the man is the head of the home and the woman is to submit herself to him and the children are to submit themselves unto their father and mother. One of the biggest problems in the world today is because that is all messed up. We have these co-pastors, man and woman teams. We're just all equal. It's the biggest lie that ever come down the pike. They're not equal. Equality is not about equality. It's about setting the other above the one who God ordained. You can see it in society. It happens all over. Whenever someone's given equality, they're never content with that. They want to be the ones ruling things and want the other to fawn over them. God has an order of who's to be in authority and who's not. And husbands, it's your responsibility to be there and to take that authority in your home. And you're to love your wife. And many times, your wife won't understand that. She'll see that as something that takes her out of that place of being adored and worshiped. She'll see that your heart isn't about her, that your heart's set on loving God. But the reason you love her is because you love God. You get that out of order and you don't love your wife at all, no matter how much she may think that you do, because you're worshiping her. That is not love. It's another one of those words that have just been completely destroyed. We barely know the meaning of it anymore, as God intended it. I didn't love my wife until I got converted. I may have adored her. I may have had her on a pedestal and made her think she was the queen of the world. But whenever I decided to follow Jesus and fell in love with Jesus, chose to follow Him and give my life to Him, then I learned to love my wife. But do you know how she saw that? She thought I hated her. She couldn't understand that I would love her. She couldn't understand the idea of loving her because God said to. But if it's out of that way, you can't even be His disciple. There in one place, Jesus said, "I'll follow you wherever you want to go." And Jesus turned and said to him, "Foxes have holes. They have dens, places to stay. The Son of Man hath none." The next man said, "Father, let me go bury my father." He said, "Let the dead bury their dead." "Let me go bid farewell to my family." And he said, "A man having set his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God." That doesn't mean that we're just supposed to forsake them. That doesn't mean we just drop them like we would the garbage and leave them. That means our heart's in a different place and we're going to love the Lord. And many times they're not going to understand that. Husbands, love your wives. As Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. He lost his life so that we could be redeemed. He gave his life so that we could be reconciled to God. He gave himself for the church. As they began to follow him, the multitudes, he turned around and said, if you're not going to forsake everything you have, you cannot be my disciple. The focus on the family makes the family God. It makes the purpose all messed up. The reason the church has fellowship is because it's made up of people who are walking in the light. Not because we like the same things everyone else likes. That's a motorcycle club. Their fellowship is around their idol, motorcycles. Our fellowship is around our desire to walk in the light. Our kinship, our relationships are around a desire to walk in the light. And we have fellowship one with another there. That's the way our home should be. Two people who are walking in the light and they give themselves to each other to walk in the light. And they care for each other because that's what the light directs them to do. Not because we create a fairy tale situation. Our children are to honor and respect us. Not because we pamper them and give them what they want and set them up as being adored and worshiped. We're to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're to train them the way they should go. Not let them feel adored and worshiped. That's not loving them. They're going to feel like you're the meanest person in the world. They're going to feel like you hate them. You don't like what they like. And if they have the opportunity, a lot of times they'd reject you and leave you. And look for a somebody that would worship them and adore them. But that's false. Now I know that that's the thing that we've been taught all of our lives. That women are looking for these relationships that you hear about in fairy tales and on the television and in the magazines, everywhere around us. They had a big wedding this weekend and everyone just got this painted as some big fairy tale wedding, a magical thing. Because they spent two or three or four or however many million dollars on this wonderful wedding, just making her the queen. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And that affects us. That affects you, whether you think it does or not. The purpose of this world was not to pamper you and make you happy. Your purpose is to submit yourself and take care of the responsibilities that God has given you. Husbands, you're to take your responsibilities. And you're to love God with all your heart. And you're to rule your houses in such a way is having this one thing first. Being willing to follow Jesus and allow your mother and your father, your wife, your children, your brother, your sister, and everyone else to believe that they hate you, that you hate them, if that's the way they see it. One of the problems that some people have is in talking about having a leader. This is the part I don't like speaking about because I don't want to defend myself. But it often comes up, and I just want to address it. Let's just turn to Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. There's no shame in wanting to be a godly leader. You desire a good thing. And each one of you that have God's love in your heart, there's nothing wrong with desiring those things and striving to be that. Chapter verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Whenever Paul was setting these things out, the Bible says in Acts chapter 7, look out among you and see, whenever they were having problems in the church and they came to the apostles said, look out among you and find out some that are filled with the Holy Spirit and bring them to us and we'll appoint them over these matters. It's where they got the bishops in Acts. The deacons. That's where they got the deacons. And they looked out among themselves and they found people who they wanted to follow and were worthy of following because they were taking care of things and they were disciples of Christ. And so they looked out and they appointed these seven. And they became the bishop or the deacons. Paul gave instructions to Timothy and to Titus. He said, ordain men in every church. Ordain people in every church. And here's some things that you need to look for. Look for how they take care of things. Look how, are they blameless? The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. Look out and see who's doing these things. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, and not covetous. These are the things you need to be paying attention. Notice how they're living. Are they doing this? Are they living this out? Is this the way they live? And it says, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children subjection with all gravity. Does that say one that lifts his wife up as a king, as a queen, and pampers her and adores her and worships her and keeps her happy? Does that say that they keep their children perfectly happy, let them do as they please? No. He rules his house. And as long as they're in his house, he rules it. So what if they forsake their father, their mother, their wife, or their children? Does that disqualify them? Because they're ruling their house? For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? You look at that man's life and you see how he rules in his home. Is he ruling it according to the word of God? Or is he ruling it according to the world? There's some consequences to ruling things according to the word of God in this world. We have to take all of the scriptures and put them together. If we just pluck one out here and one there, it doesn't fit. We may not know everything the Bible says. We might not understand everything, but there's some things that can be eliminated that it can't mean that. And when Jesus requires us to forsake our father, mother, wife, children, brother, and sister, and that is the way our life turns out, before we can even be his disciple, and then say you're disqualified from being a leader because you followed me. I may be completely stupid, but that does not compute to me. And I'm not just saying that because this is the way it is. But you can't disregard what Jesus said and just take a verse that Paul said and build a doctrine on it. And there's many times I do not feel qualified. I know that I'm going to follow Jesus. And I can say that you can follow as I follow Christ. There's a whole pile of leaders, and I've met a lot of them, and I've been in their churches a lot, and I've seen their families, and they appear to be in order. But I look at the men and the direction that they're going, and my goal in life is not to have a beautiful little house with a picket fence around it and a nice business, and to have my family to be the ultimate goal of my life. That's not the kind of leader I want. That may sound like I'm tooting my own horn or whatever, but I'm not. Because I don't feel proud just like we were talking, getting thrown in jail. It sounds like exciting. But I'm going to tell you what, when you're on the other end of it, there's nothing exciting about wearing an orange suit laying in a jail cell. There's nothing glamorous or glorious about it, so you just well get that out of your head. And there's nothing glamorous or glorious about being a leader in a church, so you just well get that out of your head. But it's something that we ought to aspire to, because it's for God. It's not about us. Nothing glamorous about being a husband. It's a responsibility. There's nothing glamorous about a wedding. It's about two people being joined together because their goal is to follow Jesus. Individually. And therefore they do their duty because God wants them to do that duty and carry out that place that He's placed them. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These are things to look for. If the man, how does he live his life? How does he lead? How does he rule? When you have his family right there in front of you, you see the example. If he doesn't have a family, how does he do with his job? Take a look at him, is what he's saying. What's he living for? May the Lord add his blessings to his words. All right, we'll open it up.